Jewish community has to try to ensure that no matter what challenges we are confronting, we are able to continue to live our lives in the context of observance of Torah and Mitzvah. And to watch, you know, just to have been part of many of the conversations that took place among Rabbanim across the country as we had to make excruciating decisions about closing shuls, to watch the palpable emotion and then to watch the effort turn so quickly and so passionately and so creatively to how to recreate the environment of our spiritual Jewish community in a totally new context. And it's really incredible, and it really does show us. It really does show us the eternal nature of the Jewish people. It shows us why we've been able to persevere through so many generations and so many challenges, because no matter what happens, we figure it out. So with that, I would like to introduce Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, who's going to share with us some of the halakhic issues that we've all been facing as we transition a lot of our tefillah, as we transition a lot of our learning out of our more bricks and mortar frameworks and into our homes, and for him to share with us some of those halakhic issues and how we can address them to give us guidance and to give us clarity. Rabbi Leibowitz.
Thank you very much. I want to also thank Rabbi Dr. Berman and Rabbi Glasser for their extraordinary leadership. Now, while I'm going to have the same amount of time, I believe, as the other speakers, there should be no doubt in anyone's mind that my portion of this phone call is significantly less important than the other two, meaning as we're evolving in this new reality that we're living in, it's become more and more clear that the primary concern, certainly as a community rabbi, is the emotional trauma that people are suffering. Now, as a community rabbi, the way that I deal with emotional trauma, the way that I get through it, is by going back into the Dalet Amos of Halacha. So I'm very grateful to be able to talk a little bit about Halacha and about specifically what it means to daven at home and how we can maximize that and understand how to do it properly. Now, it is quite remarkable that so many people are at a total loss when davening biyachidus because they're so used to going to shul. And what a beautiful statement that is about the role of tefillah b'tzibur in our daily lives. The fact that it's so disorienting speaks to our connection to our batei kenesios, to our batei medrash, and we should commit to never take that for granted ever again. Now let's be very clear. At this time, minyan is simply not an option for us. Shul staying open at this time is reckless and in many places illegal. Our poskim in yeshiva, Morenu Harav Shachter Shlita, Morenu Harav Willig Shlita, have discouraged outdoor minyanim, and I believe that's with very good reason. See, we're not always so great at following rules, and that could often lead to a blurring of the lines. Rabbi Willig said it so beautifully when he said that saying Kaddish, while a deeply emotional thing and something that really connects a person for an aliyas neshama to their departed loved one, saying Kaddish is ultimately about the great zechus of Kiddush Hashem. And today, the Kiddush Hashem is in making sure that humanity remains safe, or as safe as possible. Now, while it's true that Rav Shechter allows for answering Amen and Davar Shabakdusha to a minyan over a Zoom conference, and that is something we discussed a little bit last time, I should make it clear that that is only when there's a minyan of people somewhere together in one place, and we're seeing the video or we're being zoomed in together with them. It does not work when you have 10 people in disparate locations, though emotionally that is a very healthy thing, to connect people in different places and at least daven at the same time and to see each other davening. And the truth is, we should discuss Pesach at some later time, Tainus Bechorim and Selling Chametz and guidance for those making Pesach for the first time, but that's not going to be for today. For today, we're going to talk about davening in the home. So the halachic issues are many. Let's start with some of them. There is a halacha of makom kavua. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos Dav Vav that Amar Rabbi Chelbo and Rav Huna kala koveya makom letfilaso, someone who sets a specific location for davening, Elokei Avraham be'ezro, the God of Avraham will aid him, will help him. Kishemes Omrim lo e'ana ve'chassid. And when such a person passes on, they're going to say about him how humble he was and what a chassid he was. And the Rabbein Yonah explains that setting a location for tefillah on its own does not guarantee that you're deserving of such praise. That praise of e'ana ve'chassid, the Gemara in Sanhedrin uses to describe one of the great tzaddikim in Jewish history, Shmuel HaKatan. No, it indicates that you value proper tefillah and that we approach Hashem humbly with no sense of entitlement. And it's that attitude of humility that brings to chassidus and elevates the entire person. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tzadi Ches says that being kovei ha-makom is part of the link between tefillah and karbanos. Every karban has a specific location for the shechita and for the matan dam, and that lends a sense of formality to the tefillah. And that's particularly true when davening at home, particularly important when davening at home, that we should have a place in our house where we go to daven. In fact, the Tzlach and the Sfas Emes point out that there's a cumulative effect of the tefillos offered in a given location, and that helps to elevate that location. There's even an opinion in Rishonim that the whole idea of being kovei ha-makom the tefilloso is only for somebody who davens in his home. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah writes. If davening in shul, you don't need to be kovei ha-makom. The whole place is a makom tefila. But when davening in the home, to set aside a spot in the house that becomes a makom tefila, that's where it's particularly critically important. Another issue that comes up that a lot of people are confused about is davening in front of a window. Many people believe that there's some sort of prohibition to daven in front of a window. The reality is that the opposite is in fact true. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph says that person should daven specifically in a bayis sheyesh bo chalonos, a room that has windows, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes us that la halacha that you should daven in front of a window that faces toward Yerushalayim. Mishnah Berurah quotes from Magen Avraham that it's especially important to do so again when davening at home, when davening biyichidus. In fact, the Kesef Mishnah in the fifth barak of Hilchos Tefillah quotes the Tshuvas HaRambam that it's only true when davening in a house. So one should daven in front of a window. Why? What's the value of davening in front of a window? Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that the natural light gives a person a sense of comfort, a sense of Yishuv Hadas, or maybe a person feels more connected to Yerushalayim when looking out his window and not feeling enclosed by his home. Rashi writes that it helps with Kavana. You can look up to the Shemayim, and that helps a person have proper Kavana. What about davening? The Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Kuf Hey that a person is supposed to look down when he's davening. How do we reconcile that with davening in front of a window? So the Beis Yosef writes, yes, we look down, and every once in a while we look up to refocus, to look at Shemayim, and to refocus our Kavana. Another halacha that is not so well known, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tzadi writes, based on the Gemara in Brachos Daf Hey, that a person should daven facing a wall, meaning there shouldn't be other things interrupting between you and the end of the room, not begadim mitziyarim, not things that are distracting. So if the window that you're looking out of is a window that you see people walking by the street, that is not ideal. It should be somewhere where you could just see the heavens, you could see the treetops, you could see something, but you can't, you won't be easily distracted. The Mishnah Berurah points out that the reason we're not so makbid about always davening in front of a wall was because it would be an architectural impossibility to set up shuls where every single seat is in front of a wall. It wouldn't be possible. But when we're davening in our own homes and we have the ability to daven in front of a wall, meaning to daven in a place with no distractions, and I would add, without our cell phones on us, perhaps better yet, to have our cell phones in an entirely different room, so that's certainly the better thing to do. Another halacha that people sometimes are unaware of is that the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Pei Gimel that one has to be careful about the environment around where he's davening, that a person cannot daven keneged beis hakisei. Certainly if there's a bathroom door open right next to the place where you're davening, that door should be closed. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva in Igros Moshe, or Chaim Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Aleph, says that just as Chazal say that there's a maila to daven in the place that you learn, you should specifically avoid davening in a room that's designated for what he calls schok v'kalos rosh. That which happens in that room has an important impact on one's tefillah. So one should choose a room in their house where the activities that go on in the room are a proper reflection of the attitude that one should have toward tefillah. The Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Chaf Hei is clear that one cannot daven in front of erva. A lot of times people don't realize, they think that I'm only around family members, so it's okay to daven even if not everyone is dressed appropriately, but there is an objective problem with davening in front of erva, so one should be careful to make sure that everyone is dressed appropriately in the room where one davens. In fact, Moreinu Hagon Rav Shechter Shlita in his Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, Simin Yud Beis, Os Yud Aleph, highlights the particular value of tzniyus in developing a sense of hashra'as hashchina, in creating a sense of hashra'as hashchina. He has four proofs to that idea, not something I'm going to get into right now. There are a number of changes in text that also are worthwhile considering. Moreinu Rav Shechter Shlita has suggested that we should add Avinu Malkeinu into our shachris and our mincha every day. The idea of Avinu Malkeinu comes from a Gemara in Maseches Tainis on Daf Chaf Hei. The Gemara tells us, Maisa Rabbi Eliezer sheyarad lufnei ateva va'amar esrim va'arba brachos v'lo nena, that there was a particular eszara, there was a lack of rain, and Rabbi Eliezer went to Davin in front of the Amud, and he said 24 brachos, as one does on a fast day, but he was not answered. Yarad, the rain did not come. Yarad Rabbi Akiva acharav. Rabbi Akiva came va'amar, Avinu Malkeinu Ein Lanu Melech Ela Ata, Avinu Malkeinu Rachem Aleinu, that he said this prayer of Avinu Malkeinu, acknowledging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything and that we are in desperate need of his rachamim. And the Gemara tells us, V'yardu Geshamim, and that's when it rained. The Levush points out that the various lines in Avinu Malkeinu correspond to the brachos of Shemon Esrei, but it seems pretty clear. One does not require a minyan to say Avinu Malkeinu, and Avinu Malkeinu is not about a fast day or a Aseres Yimei Tshuva. It's about an Eis Tzara. It's about a time of great need, and this is certainly such a time. Rav Shechter pointed out, certainly not on Mincha and Erev Shabbos, times where we should not say Avinu Malkeinu, but throughout the rest of the Tefillos, Shachris and Mincha, it's an appropriate thing to add. Another appropriate thing to add to the Tefillah that many have suggested, there's a now famous letter from Rabbi Kiva Eger and Siman Ayin Aleph, that at a Shas Magefa, at a time of a plague, one should recite Pitum HaKetores at both Shachris and Mincha. And that's based on the power of Ketores to stop a Magefa. We find that the Malach HaMaves instructed Aaron HaKohen. Rashi tells us on Chumash that the Ketores is what should be used to stop a Magefa. We don't have actual Ketores anymore, but the Gemara tells us in a number of places, we have the notion of Neshalma Parm Svasenu, that when we say things, when we recite things, when we learn things, it's as if we are bringing those Karbanos that we are speaking about. That's the whole idea of saying Karbanos each and every day. And therefore, a number of people have suggested maybe saying Ketores on a more consistent basis. Also, there's a major discussion about Kriyas HaTorah. People are unsure what to do. Shabbos morning, you're davening. How do you not have a Kriyas HaTorah? You know, the truth is, we're going to have a very interesting shaila when all of this is over, God willing, about how to make up for all of the lost parshios. I mean, we are supposed to complete the Torah each and every year. The Rama writes that a tzibur that misses a parsha should read two parshios the next week. But it's not as clear if one misses, or a tzibur misses multiple parshios, that there's any way to really make all of that up, or if that's too much of a tircha de tzibura, we're going to leave that to the great poskim of our community to deal with when the time comes. But as far as on a Shabbos morning, Rav Willick suggested last Shabbos that we should each take out a Chumash and read from the Chumash as a Zecher to the Kriyas HaTorah. The reality is that that is based on a comment that the Mishnah Berurah has. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Mem Gimel, Sif Katan Tes, writes that if you don't have a Sefer Torah, you should read from a Chumash, Shalot Tishtakach Torah's Kriya. Now the truth is, the Mishnah Berurah is talking about a minyan, a tzibur that does not have a Sefer Torah, that they should read from a Chumash, because Kriyas HaTorah, most assume, is a Chova HaTzibur, and even if it's a Chovas HaYachid, even if it's an individual obligation, it's something that we can only do when we are B'tzibur. But Rabbi Willick thought it would be a good idea to read from the Chumash. I would just suggest that at the very least, we have to do Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum anyway. We have to read the weekly Parsha twice, when once the Targum anyway. So maybe use that time in between Shachris and Musaf to read the psukim from that week's parsha, and that way we'll have accomplished both things. Now, there are a couple of things about the style of tefillah that I think are worth considering. Most importantly, in my mind, is that one of the things the Gemara in Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph derives from the tefillah of Chana is that a person is supposed to daven quietly. In fact, the Gemara 7 blad earlier in Brachos Daf Chav Dalid says, "Hamashmiya kolo b'tefilasa areza mektane amana," that a person who davens loudly is showing a lack of amuna. "Hamagbiya kolo b'tefilasa areza minviyei hasheker," he's even compared to a false prophet. The Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Bey says that "Ma tiknu tefilah b'lachash," why did we institute, why did Chazal institute that we're supposed to daven quietly? "Kidei shelo levayish asov re'aveira," not to embarrass people who do averos. People sometimes are going to be saying viduyim, they're going to be confessing their sins in their tefillah. We don't want people to have to do that out loud. But on the other hand, the Ramban in Parshas Bo and Tosfos in Maseches Rosh Hashanah seem to highlight the value of davening loudly sometimes. And the truth is, the Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Chav Dalid that if a person is davening biyichidos, he's davening alone, and it's going to help with the kavana, then you can and should daven out loud. The Taz and Simon Kuf Aleph even suggests that if a person is unable to have kavana when davening with a minyan, and because he has to daven quietly, and the only way to be ma'orer, proper kavana, to inspire proper kavana, is to daven alone and out loud, that may be the better of the two options. Now, we're not going to go that far. God willing, when we have the ability to daven with a minyan, we are eagerly going to run back to shul and daven with a minyan. But in the meantime, it's not a bad idea to daven out loud, especially when you consider that the Torah quotes from the Yerushalmi that if you have children around the house, then it's a particularly good idea to daven out loud, "Kedei sheyilmedu mimenu b'nei beiso," so that the children can hear what it sounds like when their parents talk to Hashem. We've all seen children try to mimic davening, where they just put a sitter in front of their face and make sounds that you can't even hear anything. It's psh, 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 and they're not even saying anything, because in their minds, that's what tefillah is. So we have an opportunity that we don't often have to actually model what tefillah sounds like, what a person sounds like when they're connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, the major question is raised about the timing of davening, whether one should daven vasikin or one should daven when the tzibur davens. So the Gemara, again, in Maseches Brachos, Tav Yomi really prepared us for this, talks about the value of tefillah kevasikin. In fact, Tosos explains that one who fulfills smichas gula l'tefillah at sunrise is going to be protected from harm on that day. The Shulchan Aruch in Simon Peites talks about the importance and the great reward of those who daven kivasikin. But if a person has an option of tefillah b'tzibur, the Bir Halacha writes that a person who davens consistently kivasikin, that's a greater value even than tefillah b'tzibur. Many other poskim disagree and say that tefillah b'tzibur is in fact the greater value. But when we don't have the option of tefillah b'tzibur, it seems obvious that tefillah kivasikin is ideal. It happens to be, because we just recently changed the clock, that tefillah kivasikin is actually not that late. It's not that early, rather. It's kind of late these days. It's around 7 a.m., and if one can arrange that, that would seem to be the best. I have to confess, in my shul, I did not do that, because I kept my daf yomi at the regular time. People said, "Why are you doing that? Let's move the daf earlier. Let's move the daf later. We're missing out on tefillah kivasikin." And I thought that maintaining a sense of normalcy and a sense of consistency is even more important than tefillah kivasikin. But I could be terribly wrong about that, but that was my sense. And I know certainly to keep me sane, I needed that. Someone else pointed out to me that typically speaking, we just learned in today's daf, a person is not allowed to eat once the Zman of Tefillah arrives, even when within a half hour of the Zman of Tefillah. And then what we normally rely on when we eat our dinner before we've davened Mariv is that we have a Minyan Kavua. If we no longer have a Minyan Kavua, it is more difficult to rely on that. It's probably advisable that a person sets an alarm to remind themselves to daven Mariv later, or to have at least Zmanim Kavuim within their home that their children know now is the time for Mariv, and everyone's going to gather in the living room, in the study, wherever it may be, and daven together. I just want to conclude that Well, Rav Moshe Feinstein holds in his Tshuvos that minyan is a chiyuv. Moreinu Rav Shechter thought it's more logical to assume, like what the Emek Bracha writes, that the idea of davening b'tzibur is icing on the cake of tefillah. It's an enhancement of tefillah, but it's not an absolute chiyuv. So davening without a minyan doesn't rob us necessarily of a chiyuv, but it robs us of a very, very important enhancement. And when we lose the opportunity for that enhancement, we have to work on an opportunity for other enhancements of our tefillah. Deeper kavana, saying the words more slowly. Take the time on a Monday and Thursday to say every word of Uhu Rachum. You probably never in your life have the chance to do that. And as the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph tells us, Ein omdin mit l'espala lo mitoch atzvus. A person cannot daven when they are sad. That's not the attitude to go into tefillah. The Gemara goes on after a little bit and says, Ela mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. A person has to have a sense of joy when he approaches his tefillah, even in challenging times, even when things are difficult. We have to smile. We have to smile around our house, even if we don't feel like smiling. And we have to have a sense of simcha as we have the opportunity to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam in tefillah. And Be'ezras Hashem, He will hear all of our tefillos and respond with great rachamei shamayim for us and for all of humanity.
Thank you.